Welcome to the Housetop Podcast, the teaching arm of Oikos Ministries. Jesus said, "Whatever I tell you in the dark, speak in the light, and what you hear in the ear, preach on the housetops." Join our host, Terrell Hebert, as he teaches God's Word.
Well, good evening and welcome to Facebook Live. We're Oikos Ministries and I'm your host, Terrell Hebert. We're teaching through the doctrines of Christ found in Hebrews chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. The six principles of the doctrine of Christ. Some versions of the Bible call it the elementary teachings of the doctrines of Christ. And so covering these six subjects. It's repentance from dead works, faith toward God, doctrine of baptisms, laying on of hands, resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. And the Bible says, and this will we do if God permit. And so we're walking through what the Bible calls the elementary teachings of the doctrines of Christ. And so we're focused in on the teachings of Jesus Christ himself and the elementary school. The apostle or the writer of the book of Hebrews wanted to go on and teach other things, what he calls strong meat. But he says, you're not able to receive it. You have need one teach you again the first principles of the doctrine of Christ. So that's what we're going through. We're going through the elementary teachings, and we've been covering the two foundational doctrines. The first one is called repentance from dead works. Repentance, metanoia, it means to change the way you think, change the mind. And so tonight we're going to find that faith with the other foundational doctrines, repentance from dead works, and faith toward God. Now we've completed that subject. We've covered repentance. We dealt with it. We defined it, and we looked at that pretty thoroughly. Now we're going to cover that again on the doctrines of baptisms. That's why I didn't belabor the point too much there, but on this teaching for repentance, these are the two foundational teachings. So the whole foundation of the Christian life is built on two foundational doctrines: repentance from dead works and faith toward God. And we're a continual process all throughout the Christian walk of renewing the mind, getting the mind of Christ, and having faith. I was with a group last night, and we were talking, and as I said, you know, we could go into an idea of being faithful. We could learn faithful practices and really not have faith. And it's time we understand, we have to live by faith. And we'll get into that as this doctrine unfolds. So if you've missed any of this teaching and you'd like to catch up, you can surely go to our website at www.housechurchesusa.com and just peruse through there. There's all kind of audio, video, podcasts. There's all kind of ways to listen. I see we're on Rumble nowadays, and there's all kind of ways. So you can get in there, and I pray that website will bless you. And you can also follow us on Facebook. We're always posting encouraging words and challenging words and stirring up your faith. So follow us there on Facebook at Oikos Ministries, or you can go to my own personal page, Terrell Hebert, on Facebook. So without further ado, let's get it. Tonight we're going to talk about defining faith. All right. And so when you start looking at the word faith, the Greek word is pistis, P-I-S-T-I-S. And every definition you can find, I mean, I'm going to read a few. So if you don't mind, I'm going to look through my book. And in the Strong's exhaustive concordance, it means to believe, to have confidence, make a friend, obey, persuade, trust, yield. And if you look at that word persuasion or persuade, persuasion to convince by argument, agree, assure, believe, have confidence, make friend, obey, persuade, trust, yield. Zodiate's word study definition says faith is to win over, persuade, firm persuasion. There's that idea again, conviction and belief in the truth. Vine's expository dictionary of the New Testament, it says faith is firm persuasion. Conviction based upon hearing, a firm conviction producing a full acknowledgement of God's revelation or truth. And now when we start looking at the idea of firm persuasion, you know, too often we treat faith as some It's almost like this mystical, we can't see it. It's so abstract, but it's not that way at all. Especially when you couple it up with the doctrine of repentance from dead works. When you look at the word repentance, it means to change the thinking. And faith means to be fully persuaded or firm persuasion. And so the Word of God would be the basis for each of those. Faith, the Word of God would be the basis to change our thinking, and it would also be the basis to firmly persuade us. It would be the divine Word of God that would persuade us to believe God, that what He says He will do and will perform. And so this is the twin cylinders, if you would, that move the machinery of faith that the whole Christian walk with, that we repent, we believe, we change our thinking, we become more and more Christ-like in our thought and more Christ-like in our action. So repentance changes the thinking, faith changes the action, all right? They always work together. It's like a twin cylinder on a machine. And so if we look at these two, that they're pumping the power to us to enable us to walk out what Jesus told us to do and how He told us to live. Now, I find that the best way, if you want to define a word in biblically, let the Bible define the Bible. And so in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, we have a wonderful definition of the word faith. And it says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and is the evidence of things not seen." I want you to see that. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. If you would love to go do a wonderful study, go through the book of Hebrews chapter 11, and all through that chapter, it's what they call the hall of faith, and it's the exciting times of faith all throughout the book of Hebrews. So, chapter 11, it's really a way to really build and encourage your faith. And so now faith, I think there's something to this that he starts the sentence with now. See, faith doesn't work yesterday and it don't work tomorrow. You see, the history of behind us, what's behind us is historical and it's yesterday. It's done. We may have had faith yesterday. We may have seen a great move of faith, and we can't camp out on those laurels. That's great to remember and recall those things and encourage our present faith. But the Bible says now faith is. Now faith is. So in the future, it's called hope. You see, and we'll get to that in just a second, but when we look at the idea of the future, everything futuristic is hope. And so the faith can only work in the present moment. And so faith has to carry us through whatever we're walking through. We walk by faith and not by sight. We walk by faith in God's word. We walk by faith in what God says. We believe God, and it begins to govern our hearts, our minds, our actions, our emotions, and the faith of God in our hearts literally determines how we live. So when we have that kind of faith, folks, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. And when we look at the word, the idea of substance, I want to read this definition for you again. Substance, the Greek word is hypostasis, and it means to stand under or the undergird, a foundation, if you would. It's that undergirding support. And so when you look at the idea of faith is the substance, the substructure, faith is a substance of hope. Now, hope is elpis is the Greek word. Elpis is hope is always based in the future, and it's based in the Christian hope has its basis in the resurrection from the dead. And every time you look in the Bible and you find the word hope, it's going to be in an association with the coming resurrection from the dead. And so the Christian hope is that one day we will rise from the dead and live with Christ forever. This is the beautiful, we will enter eternity this way and we'll live forever with Jesus Christ. So that is the futuristic hope. What faith does, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So when you say faith is the substance, literally it's tangible, folks. It's not something that's not abstract. It's not just air. There's a substance to faith. Show me your faith without works. I show you my faith by my works. The fact is that faith can be seen. It manifests in the life. And anyone who tries to say that faith does no manifestation, it literally, I think they have no faith, is what we'd have to get back to, is that literally I don't understand the way faith is defined in so many people. It means absolutely nothing when you start hearing how many people, and you can see no evidence in their life that they live by faith in God. And so faith is a powerful thing. Repentance from dead works changes your thinking from the dead work of sin or the dead religious works we grew up in, and it changes our thinking into a living faith, that faith is firmly persuaded in God's word that God will do what he said he'll do. This is faith, folks. And so when we see faith, we begin to walk by faith, and the now faith is it affects how we live right at the moment. And no matter testing or tempting or whatever may come at you, the fiery darts, by faith we quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Faith is a powerful thing in the life of the Christian. And without faith, you cannot please God. You have to believe him. The Bible says, if you go in there and read, matter of fact, let me read it to you. I want to read a little context of that Hebrews 11 for you while we're right here talking about it. In Hebrews 11, verse 1, we'll reread it in its context. Excuse me, I almost started in chapter 1. All right. He says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it, by faith, the elders, that's the people from the past, obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained a witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it, he being dead still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death and was not found because God had taken him. But before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. That's why I read this whole context. That without faith, we cannot please God, and that God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him by faith. Folks, we're in a generation that is literally laden with unbelief. People just don't know the word of God. People are falling away from truth. Churches don't even teach the Bible in many cases now. And so we get to this present day that we're living in, that we're plagued with unbelief on every turn. And there's so many things that want to come against faith in this hour, or divide faith, or misplace faith in wrong things. It's a possibility to do that kind of thing. And so when we start looking at now, faith is the substance of hope. Faith literally pulls on that hope of the resurrection from the dead and pulls it from out of the future into the present. And we begin to live just like you're already resurrected. That's what he says in the book of Ephesians. He says that you who were dead in trespasses and sins, you has he raised up together and seated us together with him in the heavenly places. We, in a way, we are now presently living like we're already resurrected. This is faith beginning. We're already seated with him. This is faith, that we're seeing ourselves from a whole new realm and a whole new perspective and a whole new place, and not even in a three-dimensional anymore, but a fourth dimension called eternity. We've already begun to walk in that eternal existence by faith, even right now. Folks, this is faith. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And that's why I read that Hebrews 11, 1 through 6. It said that by faith we believe that the worlds were created by things that do not appear. And that God spoke things out of nothing, that he spoke and they were. And this is a powerful thing, that God's word creates. The Creator created. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. The Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. And the Word became flesh. This is Jesus. He was there as Creator in the beginning, and He's manifested. He is the personification of God's Word. He embodies everything that the Bible ever spoke about is embodied in the person of Jesus Christ. He is the Word made flesh. And when we see the power of the Word of God that created the heavens and the earth, folks, I know what science are saying, and so many agnostics and so much unbelief and oppositions from false sciences. I want to tell you, folks, it's time to believe that God is. He who comes to God just must believe that He is. I read a long list the other day of famous agnostics and unbelievers from the past. All kind of Marxists and all kind of, they're famous folks. I want to tell you, folks, every last one of them on deathbed confessions were shaken to the core that they had been so mistaken. They were so wrong, and they were in agony facing death. I want to tell you, as a Christian pastor for 42 years now, I've been walking this thing out, and I've buried a whole lot of folks who believe. It's amazing to me when you bury a person who dies in faith versus a person who dies without. It is absolutely unbelievable. The peace of God on a person who knows where they're going, it's tremendous. He said, we do not grieve like those who have no hope. We believe that we will rise from the dead. And so, to me, death is just a transition into an eternal, and it's an awesome thing. So he who comes to God must just first believe that He is. And everything is telling you these days that there is no God. Folks, you know good and well there is. And it's time to believe in the one true God, the one true God who gave His Son in your place. He who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Folks, there's a preposition here. There's a verb, diligent search for God. That when you and I begin to diligently seek God, He rewards that. He meets us there. And it's not that He just gives us a bunch of stuff. He meets us there with His presence. And once you know Him, there's nothing like it. To be in the presence of God is the most wonderful thing there is. And so when you ever enter into His presence, you're not worried and enamored with stuff anymore. You're just enamored with Him. He is the reward. And so it's just, boy, I got off on that one. So anyway, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, the invisible creation. He is literally, there's an evidence. Folks, when people demand some kind of evidence in the life, let me tell you, I don't try to tell them I've learned a lot of things about the Bible, but I tell people what happened to me. Jesus Christ changed my life. The living Christ changed me. He is evident. It's evidence in my life that He's alive. And this person who died, buried, and rose from the dead 2,000 years ago touched me in 1981 and changed me. And so I'm a new person created in Christ Jesus. For by faith, faith is the substance. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of the unseen. I'm telling you, there's evidence inside of me for that what God did, the unseen God changed me. And this is a powerful thing. And you can have that same testimony too, if you believe by faith. You have to believe God. Now, so faith is the substance of things hoped for. Hope means to anticipate, to expect, to confide. And again, I say it's all based in the resurrection from the dead. Let me read you a verse from 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Just a sampling. This is too numerous to list them all. It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Now, to me, this epitomizes what hope is all about. He said, He's begotten us again. This is the new birth. We've been born again unto a living hope. That new birth gives us the living hope about the resurrection of the dead. And the resurrection is the basis for all the Christian hope. Faith then takes hope and pulls it into the right now present. Now faith is. And faith pulls so hard on God's promises that it begins to affect us presently. This is the power of living by faith. And so defining faith is one part of what we want to do tonight. And then I want to show you how we get that faith. All right. And so let's dive into that for a minute. In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. He says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith," "That's not of yourself. It is the gift of God." Would you see that? If we're looking at how to get faith, faith is a gift from God. "Not of works, lest anyone should boast, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God has prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." Look carefully at that now. For by grace are you saved through faith. Now, when we start breaking this apart and looking carefully at it, grace, the charis, it's where we get the word, the charismatics and this kind of, but we believe in the giftings of God and the anointing, the charis of grace that I was right. Okay. And it's really to smear with an anointing and an oil. It's a gifting from God. God has given us the gift of grace. Now, by grace is the means. By grace, you are saved. Saved from what? Salvation, a full salvation, a salvation from sin's penalty, from sin's power, and from sin's pleasure. There's a full redemption. If you're only looking to be saved in the future, you don't even understand this great salvation. Our salvation is from sin itself, from the power and the pleasure of sin, a deliverance that delivers us from this evil and continues to deliver us through the Christian walk. So he says, for by grace, grace is the means of salvation. So what is this grace? Grace is literally the great gift of God is that he gave his son, Jesus Christ, to die in our place on the cross. Jesus took what we deserve. For 2,000 years, the cross has been sitting right there on the hill, drawing men to itself. And this is God's grace. For by grace, it is the power of God to salvation. The preaching of the cross, the cross itself is the means, it is the power of grace of God to salvation. And if every definition you read of grace, it'll say unmerited favor. And I have no argument with that, but I think it's very specific that grace, if grace is the means of salvation, then it must mean the cross. And the cross of Jesus Christ, when Jesus took what you and I deserve, he died in our place. He fulfilled all the righteous requirement of the law that when a sin was committed, blood must be shed. Well, Jesus knew no sin, and he made him who knew no sin to become sin for us, that we who knew no righteousness would be made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And he has recreated us in Christ unto a good work. For by grace are you saved through, and here's our word, through the channel of the act of faith. See, faith looks at what Christ did for us, and we're so ashamed that Jesus died in our place. It's such a hard thing for an honest sinner, a person who has been in sin and now is face to face with God. He's face to face with his own sins and looking right there at the redemption of God. It's hard for an honest person to look at the cross and not just be broken or ashamed and look at this thing and say, wow, I did this to Jesus. This is what I did. He died in my place. I did this to him. And we can't blame the Jew or the Roman soldier or Pilate. We can't blame anybody but ourselves. Jesus died in our place. And when you own that, when you begin to take full ownership over that, and with the Apostle Peter on the day of Pentecost when he preached, he said, "You crucified him." And I think as we apply that to in a very personal way to ourselves and forget everybody else on the planet and just you stand alone there with the crucifixion of Christ and own it, that what God allowed to happen to Jesus, he wanted to pour the full-blown fury of his wrath out on you for an eternal damnation. But God in his mercy allowed Jesus to take our place in the cross. This is grace. By grace are you saved through faith. I remember when God revealed the cross to me. It was such a powerful time. I was under such, my sins were convicting me. My sins were rebuking me. My sins were literally they were eating me alive inside. And so this was God's great grace drawing me to the cross. And so as sin was doing this thing in me and death, the stench of death was there, he was drawing me to Christ. And I remember as I came face to face with the cross, I always knew about Jesus. I always believed that he died, buried, and rose from the dead. I always believed that from the time I was a little kid. But I had no understanding of what happened there. I totally did not understand the cross or its significance to humanity. And that day when God spoke to my heart and he said, Jesus took what you deserve, it broke my heart. It broke everything about me. The very fact that I was a wicked sinner, and the fact that Jesus, everything I knew about Jesus was holy, just, pure righteousness. There was not one bad thing I could think about him. And the fact that he would die in my place shamed me so bad. I didn't even, once I understood it, I didn't even want to, I was so ashamed. I was so embarrassed that God would even see me. I felt like a worm. I felt like an undeserving, and I wanted to hide my face. And I remember, I'm saying it right out. God, this is not fair. This is not right. He should not have, the gravity of that just overwhelmed me. And I remember I was so broken over this and I was just like, no, God, you can't. I felt the love of God coming around me it even made me more ashamed, I just said, please, God, have mercy. And when I did, the mercy of God filled my heart. And it melted my heart, broke my heart. I began to weep and cry, and it felt like my sins were pouring out of my eyes. Folks, let me tell you something. When you get to a place of this, to where by grace are you saved through faith, Jesus was saving me from my sin. I didn't even think about hell that moment. I couldn't have cared less about hell. I'd been living in a hell inside of me. But I want to tell you right now, what he began to save me from was sin. For by grace are you saved through. Through means there is a channel of an action through faith. You see, faith sees this in as it's revealed by God. And faith just pulls this into your heart and appropriates it to yourself. This is the power of faith. Faith believes God. And look, I knew that and only that was the only means by which I could be saved. It was the only way out of the mess I was in. So the cross killed me that day, buried me that day, and then raised me back up from the dead. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that's not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. See, God gave me the grace 2,000 years ago. He gave us all grace. There's a common grace that God has given us. It's just the goodness of God. He lets the sun rise and set on the evil and the righteous alike. That's common grace. But this grace is very specific. God gave grace to all mankind 2,000 years ago. It's been sitting there 2,000 years, heralded by preacher after preacher after preacher, preserved in the greatest book ever written, the Bible, the Word of God. And preacher, great men and women of God have preached this and proclaimed this in signs and wonders following. Multitudes have come up after this, that grace sitting there for 2,000 years. It's just saying, come. It's just drawing, come. It holds the wondrous attraction for sin and for sinners. It pulls. It's like a gravitational pull. There's nothing appealing about it until you're dead in your trespass and sin. Then it looks good. And it says, for by grace are you saved through faith. That's not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. I read this week in the book of Romans, and it says that I will be found. He said, Isaiah is very bold, and he says, I will be found of those who sought me not. Come on. Huh? I wasn't looking for Jesus when I found him. I'm telling you, I need to go find Jesus. Nope, it wasn't. I wasn't being preached to. I'm just telling you, God began to draw me. For by grace are you saved through faith, through the channel of the act of faith. And that's not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. The ability to believe God is a gift. God gives us the faith to believe in His grace. It is the gift of God. And I don't believe it's to a limited few. It's to whosoever will. God can change the most desperate of situations. God can change it. You may not be looking for God right now, but He said, I will be found by those who sought me not. That's a powerful thinking to me. I will manifest for those, myself to those who were, did not seek me. Boy, this is powerful. God wants to show up in some lives of those who are just going willy-nilly about their way. Not even, they're totally unaware that they're about to fall off into an eternal damnation. Only the thin string of the life of their flesh is keeping them from eternal condemnation. Folks, please understand. For by grace are you saved through faith. The first place that we get God, and let me tell you, it all begins here, is a gift from God. Repentance from dead works is the first move of grace. He begins to allow us to prepare the way of the Lord. And then, I can tell you, it crescendoed for me as God revealed the cross that day to me. I mean, all of it, it became crystal clear and my heart broke. And that scene I just described happened. And I mean, the grace of God poured in and He begot me again to a living hope through the resurrection of the dead. I was born again. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that's not of yourself. It is the gift of God. You see, the giftings of God. God has given us a gift of faith, and we're to nurture that. We're to literally build up on that. And let me show you how it's done. If you look at the next way we get faith, it's called hearing the word of God. In the book of Romans chapter 10, I'm going to read a few verses here. He says, "For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on Him in whom they've not believed? How shall they believe in Him of whom they've not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they preach unless they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. But they've not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Wow. Here's the next place where we get faith. And I believe once God has given you the gift of faith, we're to nurture that. And to nurture that faith is we nurture it by hearing the word of God. Now, this is an unusual verse right here. Usually when we see the word of God there, the word would be logos. But the word here is rhema. There is a specific word. Faith comes by hearing the rhema of God. Not the logos of God, the rhema of God. Now, let me say this. I'm going to say emphatically, I'm addicted to reading my Bible. I love to read the Bible. I love to read the scripture. And I tell you, just give me a little time alone with the Bible and all of a sudden it'll come alive to me. I feel like I'm in His presence and the Word of God is speaking to me. And it shifts from a logos to a rhema to me. All of a sudden He is speaking to me. All of a sudden, it's not objective anymore. It becomes very subjective because I'm looking at it and saying, wait, I get this. And all of a sudden, my mind it's just really cool that all these things begin to, like a jigsaw puzzle, begin to snap. You ever get on a roll when you're doing a jigsaw puzzle and boy, they all snap. It just starts snapping together and you see something you've never seen before. It's a wonderful thing. This is what rhema does. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. Folks, today we should look at the biblical illiteracy that rules our day even in the churches, most people do not read their Bible. And if they do read their Bible, they're barely glancing at it. Most people are looking for little inspirational ditties and nothing else. Chicken soup for the soul. And they never really get down to building faith. Faith comes by hearing the Word of God. And listen, sometimes it's the preached Word, the written Word where we read it, sometimes reading it out loud or listening to some of these really cool technologies we have right now that you can just sit and have the Bible read to you. Faith comes by hearing the Word of God. And so pouring this Word of God does two things now. As we pour over the Word of God, it begins to bring us to repentance, a changing of our thinking. Well, I said, wow, the Bible says this, but I really, this is how I think. So I begin to change my thinking. That's a gift of grace. The grace of God that allows us to change. It's His kindness that lets us change. That's repentance from dead works. And then it's by faith in God, firm persuasion. Also, now I'm firmly persuaded. And so in our time with the Bible, with reading the Word of God, the Bible said, Jesus said the Bible is a living thing. He said, my word is spirit and the spirit is life. And so when we start reading the Word of God, it's one thing, you know, we're not reading this like it's an algebra book and there's math in it, but we're not reading it like it's a history book, although it's loaded with history. We're reading this as the living Word of God. And we begin to read that by faith. All of a sudden, the spiritual begins to take place. And it's not just a mental aspect, it's a spiritual aspect. We're not just trying to discover something new or amass knowledge, although knowledge does come and new things are discovered. But what we're trying to see is the revelation of God where He reveals and manifests Himself to us. And that literally this brings a life inside of us. And this is called faith. It's a faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. I cannot overemphasize the relationship that you need to develop with the Bible, with the Word of God, in particular the New Testament. Read Matthew, read Mark, Luke, John, read the words of Jesus, pore over them, read the epistles and see the apostles enlarge and expound upon what Christ has already taught us, and let these things sink home as to how God would have us live. This is powerful time. Faith, the gift of God, should be nurtured. If God gave us a gift, we should use that gift and nurture that gift. For by grace we are saved. We should literally take this gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast, but we should take this gift of God and literally put it to work. There's terrible consequences for taking a gift and hiding it and burying it. The Bible is loaded with warnings against doing such a thing. We cannot or we should never neglect this great salvation. For by grace you've been saved through faith. That's not of yourself. It's a gift of God. The grace is a gift. The faith is to believe that grace is a gift. And we should nurture that gift of faith that we have to believe His grace and stay in a right relationship with God. And we do that first off by reading the Bible. Let the Word of God dwell in your hearts richly. Let the Word of God begin to change your thinking and change your action. All of a sudden, you'll be filled with the living presence of God. This is how we stay filled with God. It's a powerful time. The Bible, I cannot emphasize it enough, of the relationship that I've had with the Bible ever since day one when God saved me. And by pouring up, just by really just getting in God's Word, it just comes alive. Folks, please go dust that old Bible off. Get it off the shelf and begin to read God's Word and read it in faith. Don't just try to read. Just say, well, I don't understand. Well, maybe it's time to say, God, please open my understanding. And let Him begin to do a transforming work in your mind and in your heart. And by faith, you become a new creation. For by grace are you saved through faith. That's not of yourself. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. And so God created the heavens and the earth by His Word. And when you consider that the Creator beginning to speak life into us, what He can recreate, we are created in Christ Jesus. Folks, He will recreate you. Hear me now, drug addict. He will recreate you and break the dependency on drugs. Hear me now, perverse person. Listen, he will break your perversion and your addiction and deliver you into a holiness and a cleanness. Hear me, folks. He will change you from the inside. This isn't forced willpower from the external. It begins on the inside, and God begins to change you by grace. And you see, faith has a real catalyst. It works by love, is what the scripture says. Faith worketh by love. And so the love of God pours in our heart, and the more it pours in, we just believe Him. And this empowers us. That's what this grace does. Empowers us to live what people never could do before. It empowers us to live out what God has always told us to do. Amen. This is a powerful thing, man. Repentance from dead works, faith toward God. Faith comes by, first, faith is a gift from God, and then it comes by hearing the word. Let's go to another one. I want to show you one more that we want to deal with on faith, how we get faith. In Jude chapter 20, he says, "But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit." Now, notice what he called it, a holy faith. See, I've noticed sometimes in our generation that there is some unholy faith going on around there. I see people all the time who claim to be people of God. Facebook has been a real revealer. It's amazing how many people are claiming to be Christian, and the next words out of their mouth are vulgar, or a half-naked picture on their website. I'm like, really? Or drunkenness? And I mean, it's like, what is this portraying? This is not a holy faith. He says, "You beloved, building up your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit." See, the third way to derive faith is by praying in the Holy Ghost. Now, this is not just regular prayer. This is praying in the Spirit. Praying in tongues would be another way to say this. And so when you begin to pray in the Holy Ghost and pray in the Spirit, it builds faith. The Bible says that he who prays in an unknown tongues, it builds him up. It encourages your own self. It edifies you. And so the fact is that we need that kind of edification and that confirmation. By praying in the Spirit, we begin to have that. Now, many of you out there might be listening to this and say, "Well, that ain't for today." Well, why is it not for today? Why is any other gift from God today for today? If the gift ceased, why didn't the gift of salvation cease? Why are we going to pick and choose a few gifts that we don't understand and say, these don't work no more? It don't work because of unbelief. Let me tell you what, the gifts of tongues work just wonderful. They're working just fine. We had a powerful Holy Ghost prayer meeting time last night. The Holy Ghost is wonderful, and He's still alive and kicking and praying and in the Spirit, and He will literally bring you to the place where we pray with groanings that cannot be uttered. Folks, this is a faith-building exercise. It will build your faith, a holy faith, a separated faith. It will encourage you to separate from the world and separate to God. The Bible says that after that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You will receive power, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. The empowerment to talk to others about Jesus and empower you to do so effectively and to testify of what He's done in us. And the Holy Spirit's prayers through the Holy Spirit and the power of God as He dwells inside of us, speaking in another language with stammering lips and another tongue, "I will speak to this people." And this is the rest, and this is the refreshing. Read it in Isaiah 28, verses 9 through 13. In the rest and the refreshing, praying in tongues is a rest, and it's a refreshing. You don't have to work and labor from the head. It's the heart just unloading itself. It truly, the best way to say it, it's the rivers of living waters pouring out of our belly will go rivers of living water. This is what it is. As we pray in the Spirit, He prays through us, helping our infirmities. We don't know how to pray for. We don't know what to pray for. Our understandings are limited. But let me tell you, the Holy Spirit knows the heart of God, and He can pray right to exactly what God wants us to pray to and through and for and how. And God, He'll cut to the chase and literally lift this up in a powerful utterance, ecstatic utterance to Him. And literally, I won't know a word I said, but I know the peace of God fills me. I've learned this. when the peace of God is continually filling you, you know it ain't the devil. The devil literally wants to torment your life. And peace and torment aren't the same word. I hope y'all understand that. The peace of God that passes knowledge will fill your heart. Now look, I love to study the word. I love to rightly divide the word. But I want to tell you something. Much study is a weariness to the flesh. And we could get mental fatigue. We could also study knowledge puffs up is what the word of the Bible says. But boy, there's nothing more sobering than praying in tongues. There's nothing more sobering. You say, well, that didn't sound very intelligent, because it wasn't. It's just not trying to show off intelligence. What it is prayer. And it's just a heart that says, God, I'm out of words. God, I'm out of knowledge. I don't understand. I don't even know what to say. And the heart begins to take over from there. We were Sunday, we were having a wonderful service Sunday, and this fellow that I've been walking with for almost 40 years now, he got baptized in the Holy Ghost and began to speak in tongues there at the in an altar call. It was just a tremendous time. And we were with him again last night, and off he went again. So, hallelujah, man. Pray in the Holy Ghost. All right, so let's look at it again. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Now faith, it's the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. By faith, we just believe that God is. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. We walk by faith and not by sight. And so now faith is substance. It is the foundational substance that we build our lives on. Jesus said, he who hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will show you what he's like. He is like a man who has builded his house upon a rock. He dug deep and he put the foundations on the bedrock of Jesus Christ. And we get all the muck and mire out the way, and we change our thinking. We get our brain clean. We repent from dead religious works, dead sins. We repent of all that stuff and begin to believe God. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the undergirding. It literally is the substructure of our building, the substance of things not seen, the evidence. There is evidence. The unseen God who created by His Word begins to work in me and you and changes us from the inside out and recreates us. For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of work. It is the gift of God. That's not of yourself. It's a gift of God. Faith is a gift from God. God gives you faith to believe the grace He gave us, and we begin to believe Him. Then we nurture that faith, because it comes by hearing God's Word. And we get to our Bible, we read the Scripture, and the words of Jesus come alive in us, and we begin to live. And boy, it just begins to change. It's a divine stirring as we become partakers of the divine nature. And this begins to get in us. We have tasted the good word of God. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's so good. Mm-hmm. Huh? And then I tell you right now, that'll almost bring you to tongues right there. And we pray in the Holy Ghost, building up our faith. So we get faith. Number one, it's a gift from God. Number two, we nurture that faith through the Bible, through the Word of God, in particular our New Testaments. But all the Bible is the inspired Word of God. But I really encourage people these days, get to your New Testament and read the New Covenant. Just immerse yourself. See, let your mind get baptized in the Bible. This is called the baptism of repentance. We baptize our head in the Word of God. And the more it affects us, we begin to get the mind of Christ. We go back and listen to that teaching I did on that just recently, and you'll understand it. And then by faith, we get firmly persuaded in what Jesus says, and we begin to do what He said do. So faith is a gift. Nurture it through the Word of God. And finally, pray in the Holy Ghost. Speak in tongues. Pray away. Pray with the Spirit. Surely pray with your understanding. That's fine. But pray with the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit and watch God build your faith. Folks, we're going to leave it right there for this week. And I encourage you to go back and listen to these teachings You can go to our website, www.housechurchesusa.com, and go back through and peruse through these teachings and catch up on them. We're going to put this in layer by layer for quite a while. And as we do so, faith defined, faith derived. We defined faith tonight, and we showed you how to get and keep your faith. And so next week, we'll move on to some of faith's derivatives and faith's first duty. We'll get to all those things. God bless you. Have a great week. Come back and see us.
We are so thankful that you joined us for this teaching today. It's our sincere prayer that many of you would be born again through hearing God's word. If you were blessed by this podcast, we would love to hear from you. For more information on Oikos Ministries, visit us on our website, www.housechurchesusa.com.